This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world? I would like to welcome you back to the Real Talk with Zuby podcast. On today's episode, we have got on a fellow artist. He has done songs with all sorts of big artists. He's toured all over the USA and beyond. He's got over 2 million subscribers right now on his YouTube channel, doing a lot of dope stuff independently. And this is the one and only Hi-Rez. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, man.
No doubt, bro. So I've done a real brief intro there, but for people who may not be familiar with you, tell them a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah. So I've been making music 12 years, 10 of those years, probably never made a dollar. You know, that's how any dream is, right? It's like you put in those 10,000 hours and it's like you have to be willing to make no money for those 10 years. And then everything beyond, if you put in the right time, the right work, then you could live a lifetime of abundance. So, I mean, when I was 18 years old, I was signed to a division under Sony, got dropped from the label right before streaming became a thing, you know, and thank God I was dropped because I was in such a bad deal when I was a kid. And then streaming came out of nowhere and my life changed. And, you know, I feel like even though I'm young, a lot of people are like, yo, you're an OG, because I was going viral on things before people were calling things viral, right? Before it was a word. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Soulja Boy says, I'm the first rapper to do everything, right? That's what happened recently. So that's how I feel of my world when it comes to the social media world, is like there was only a few rappers at the time. It wasn't as saturated. And everyone was like, who's that random white rapper kid that's going viral for rapping at McDonald's or dressing up as an old man, or, you know, real gimmicky. It was like, at first it was always rap. I was in a studio when I was a young kid with a lot of OGs like Sean Price, Master Ace, Rugged Man, like a lot of super dupe, thorough, real, you know, hip hop heads from the 80s and 90s. And I was a young kid and I didn't even realize how blessed I was to be around such mentor, you know, OGs like that. And it's just, you know, I've been in so many stages and paths in my career, you know, because I started so young that, you know, I'm blessed to have the longevity that I have. I might not be Drake or Kanye or Jay-Z, but it's like, I feel so, it's amazing that I control my destiny. I control my masters, my royalties, my publishing, my money. I have full control over everything, you know? So it's like, I might be making a tenth of whatever you're making, but I'm keeping 100% of it. So it's like, It just feels good to control my destiny, man. And I just been doing it for a while, and I'm gonna be doing it for another 10 years after that. Like, I really love this. You're gonna have to carry me out of here. You know what I mean? It's like, It's not just a career. Obviously, it became that way. But, you know, even if I was making $0, I would figure out some hustle to be able to do this full time.
No doubt, man. Well, dude, as a fellow independent artist, trust me, I can appreciate the hustle. And I love seeing what you're doing, man. How did you even get into rapping? What's the story behind it?
So when I have two older brothers, no sisters. I have a half sister, but as far as what I grew up with in my house, I have two older brothers. And, you know, they were just into rap, man. It's like, I think about it all the time when everyone asks me that. It's like, if they put me on to like country or rock and roll or something, I wouldn't be here. I would be like, I would probably hate rap. And, you know, anyone who has older siblings, they know it's like, you know, they force feed whatever they want down their little sibling's throat. It's like, you're going to eat this, you're going to drink that, you're going to play this sport, or I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Cause I grew up, you know, I'm 27, but I grew up in the 90s where, you know, you were getting swirlies and hit with belts and beat with. And it's like, that was normal, you know? So it's like, that's how I grew up, man. And rap was everywhere. And, You know, Eminem had the record like White America, the kid who sagged his pants and do-rag and grills. And it's like, whether that was my life or not, that's who I thought I was. And that's how I got into rap, man. It's like, I just loved rap. As I got older, you know, it became more of an avenue for me to like, as an outlet, right? Like any struggle I was going through, anything in my environment, friends, family, any triumphs, tribulations, all that, it just became an outlet. And, you know, I've been making music since I'm 13, 14 years old. I'm 27 now. So it's like, you know, time tells all. Like, you know, there's so many guys that I came up with initially. I'm still coming up. But there's so many guys that were like, when I first started, when I was 16, 17, that were kind of like the freshman class with me, right? Like that same class. And most of them aren't here right now, you know? So it's like, it's crazy to even look around and be like, wow. It's like, you know, as you get older, as you mature more, as you make more money, as you get more view, whatever it is, as you kind of just level up, you start looking around and realizing, whoa, like the people who used to be here aren't really here anymore. And maybe it's because they didn't love this shit. I don't know. So I think just since a young age, Kanye West played a massive role in my life. It was like early 2000s music, you know what I mean? Like I did my due diligence afterwards, like not even shit that my brothers put me onto, like because I started, like I said earlier, I started working with Master Ace, Rugged Man, Sean Price, rest in peace Sean Price, and it's like it put me onto the KRS-One's and the Wu-Tangs and NWAs and people of that nature from the late 80s, early 90s, and I just loved it, man. I used to go to a sleepaway camp when I was a kid, and They had like horseback riding, all the normal sleepaway camps. And I was the only one, kid you not, like out of hundreds of kids, I'm the only one signed up for DJing in like the back of, we're in the woods. And it's like this tiny ass little cabin. And like, to me, that sounds like everyone should be there. I'm like, why are y'all riding horses when we got thousands of records right here that we could spin and sample and chop up and listen to? And I don't know, man. It's just, to me, I think nowadays, the tables have turned. Everyone wants to be a DJ. Everyone wants to be a rapper. Everyone wants to be a singer, a songwriter. And I think it culturally will shift, you know, as things do. But to answer your long story short, even though it's long, I just love hip hop, man.
That's awesome, man. So tell me a little bit about how you've built up your audience and your following in the way that you've done it. Because even getting to 2 million plus YouTube subscribers and putting out all these albums and music videos, all of that, doing all of that independently is tough, and it's a huge achievement to have done that. So how did you do it, and what was that growth trajectory like for you? Because I know it wasn't just some quick thing that happened overnight or any of that nonsense. Of course. So talk us through that.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's brick by brick. You know, like I said, I was signed when I was a young age, and it's those things you don't realize until you look back on it, where it's like something that you did in your career played such a massive role later on. You know, it's like in the moment, you don't notice this video or that song or this concert or this piece of merch. Like you just don't, if you're doing it brick by brick the way, you know, that any independent artist should be doing it, you know, there, you just don't realize it. So it's like, I had so many moments, like when I was a young kid, kids play Call of Duty professionally, right? You know, shit like that. Mm-hmm. So there was a collective called FaZe Clan. They're like the biggest crew, you know, that does Call of Duty. And when I was like 16 years old, they were all about the same age. We were all kind of peers and friendly. And this was like back in the day when there wasn't 100 rappers. And to trend on YouTube, all you needed was 10,000 views in a day or something like that. I still have a screenshot from 2011 when I had a music video that I put out. I was 16 years old and it got 14,000 views in 24 hours. And I was number 14 trending in the world. Wow. Or something like that. Just because that's 11 years ago. No one else was doing that. I had to beat, you know, 20 other videos that day. Like, you know, it was no big deal. Now it's like 14,000 views. You're the 100,000, you know, best video of the day. But it's like, you know, they used to put FaZe Clan used to put my music in their videos. And that was kind of the first layer of like, you know, that was that first brick for my career where I really looked around and I was like, whoa, like my videos are getting 100,000 views every time consistently. I'm 16 years old. I'm in high school. You know, there was really no ads on YouTube at the time still. So I wasn't making much money. I wasn't probably making any money, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, but it didn't matter. I'm 16. I'm living at home with my parents. I got math class in the morning and people are comparing me to like, you know, like my generation. I think it kind of burdened me at the time. It kind of put like this immense pressure on me because they were comparing me to like Logic and Macklemore and G-Eazy and these guys that are 5, 6, 7 years older than me. They're touring worldwide. They have hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I'm trying to pass math class the next, literally, like it's like the comparison made no sense, but it really kind of helped, you know, put that pressure. I think, you know, what's the saying? Coal to diamonds, right? Like, you know, you need the pressure on the coal to turn it to a diamond, right? And I think that kind of worked with me, man. So I don't know. It's that was my first layer of fans. And then after that was the viral, the McDonald's rap, the Uber videos. You know, I pretended to be an Uber driver, pick people up, rapped. I rapped at McDonald's in Times Square and I rapped the order. Let me get two Big Macs and two. Everybody's seen that video somewhere. Yeah. This the same way with your viral video. I had no idea that your viral video was from 2019 because okay. I only saw it, you know, 8 months ago, 9 months, whatever it was. And that's how it is with me. It's like something that's old to you is new to someone in India or Canada, or that's the crazy part of the internet. It's right. And a lot of the times, and you probably could attest to this, is how many times people rip your upload it, don't tag you. It's like this, your content is just, it's so viral that it doesn't need to live on your platform because it's viral content. You know, you created that. And for so long, I was creating such, that was my only goal, was wake up and create viral for years, 3-4 years. It was tons of stress and pressure, but I think that's what got me tons of followers, tons of fans, tons of subs. And now, like, even if only 1 or 2%, like, you know, became fans from it, I got fans from it. You know, people show up to shows and they're like, hey, I found you from the McDonald's rap. Now I bought all your albums. I found you from the Uber raps. Now I came to 4 shows on your tour and I followed you to every show because, you know, you're a genuine guy, whatever it is. So, you know, I'm grateful for every stage in my career, even though as a kid, I was kind of like hesitant to be like, oh, why do you only like me for this? You should like me for that. You know, like mm-hmm, the best mm-hmm. comparison I always have is, you know, if you're shopping in Amazon or Walmart, do they turn you away? They're like, eh, I don't want you. You know, it's like money, you know, money is money. A fan is a fan. And somebody said it once to me, it's like, you can't choose your audience, you know? And I think mm-hmm. as a kid, I wanted to really desperately have this like super gutter, like extremely hip hop head fan base that they know everything about hip hop. And it's like, you know, if it's 13-year-old white girls from the suburbs who like a record, like so be it. You know, it's like, you can't control it. If it's a version of me, music that I created or content that I created, then I'm extremely happy that people are consuming it.
That's awesome, man. And yeah, I can totally relate to what you said there. The analogy I use, especially because my most viral piece of content had nothing to do with my music, right? It was deadlift video.
Yeah.
So I was a bit like, man, of all the stuff I've done over all these years, how's this thing that blows up? But as I've, you know, done that and also started my podcast and wrote my first book, all of that, the way I look at it is I've got a house. And I don't care. I like yourself, I wanted people to come in through the front door.
Yeah.
Right? That being my music. And then I was like, you know what? Whether they come in through the front door, the side door, the back door, whatever. I don't care as long as they come into the house.
As long as you come in the house.
You can pick and choose what you like. You know, if you're into the hip hop and the fitness, cool. If you just care about the fitness, all good. Yep. You just care about the social commentary, all good.
Yep.
You know? Just offer things to people. And what's dope about that is it builds a more diverse audience as well.
Yep.
So you can have those teenage girls. And then you've also got, you know, you've also got the boomers and you've got people your age and you've got millennials and Gen X's and whatever.
Yep.
And to me, that's super dope.
I was having this conversation yesterday. I was on a different podcast and we were talking similarly about where it's like, that's why I feel I didn't blow up in the sense of society. Like, you know, the way society looks at blown up, right? Like there's no in between for them. It's like you're Drake or you fell off.
Nothing.
There's no like middle ground to somebody who's not a business owner and doesn't understand what it takes, like that mentality. So it's such a strange struggle between, you know, what you think success is, I think success is, what that person thinks success is. But I think that's a sign of maturity. What you were saying is like, you might not have, like you were angry for a second. Oh, you can't, I want you to only come for the music. But then it's like, you know, you get to a point where it's like, you're here, you know, you might become a fan of the music afterwards. You might not. It's still a version of you. It's still a version of me. I'm glad that you took the time out of your day because there's millions. People just scroll, bro. I think about it all the time. They're like, all right, cool. You know, it's like, you know, but it is what it is, man. It's like if millions of people do that or if 10 people do it, if you buy merch after, it is what it is, man. It's like if you're able to feed your family, buy a house, you know, metaphorically and physically what we're talking about, you know, this house reference. If you're able to do all that, you know, it's great. If you're able to pass down generational wealth, even better, right? It's like, you know, if you're having fun and loving what you do, then it's like, why stop it, you know?
No doubt, man. And I think something that really draws people to you is your authenticity, man.
Thank you.
Like I've listened to a lot of your songs and it's real talk. You know, my podcast is called Real Talk with Zuby.
Yep, yep.
I know that my authenticity is something that draws people to myself. I see you're wearing an Anomaly t-shirt right there. Shout out to Anomaly. He's been on my podcast. He's also on my new album. And I know you've done tracks with him as well.
Yep.
So people these days especially hunger for the truth and hunger for honesty. We're really living in this time where there's this war on reality, man. Yep. For the past several years, everything's just upside down and left side up, and it's all very strange. And I think that the fact you are just willing to be yourself and speak your mind and be real and talk about whatever it is, from politics to religion to hip hop to culture, just whatever's on your mind, you know. Like, I listen to your tracks and it's really dope lyrically and the flow and all that, but I'm also just like, cool, this guy's just saying what he feels. He's saying what he feels, man. And I think there's a resurgence in the popularity of that. I think it's a resurgence. I think there's a cycle. I think initially people were drawn to hip hop because that's what it was.
Facts.
And then it went really commercial and sort of super ultra thugged out and, you know, more. And then it kind of got real again. And then it kind of went back to the mumble thing and, you know, just all of that. And then there's this resurgence that's happening again now.
What I noticed the fact, and your video had kind of, reminded me that this is the case. The fact that I just saw recently that it was from 2019, and then that it makes more sense today, right? It's one of those things that makes more sense, whether that's good or bad. And I kind of noticed this in 2019, maybe the same year. I was living in LA a few years ago, and I was kind of upset, just like you were saying. I'm kind of upset with the state of the world without realizing it. I'm upset with the state of music and popularity and the culture, what's cool, what's not. And then I noticed it's almost like every once in a while something breaks through that's like it breaks you out of the matrix, right? You're like, oh shit. And I saw it was on Billboard and it was iTunes, and the top three, it was Nas, Black Thought, and Kanye West. And I didn't see anybody. This was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Mm. All dropped it out. Kanye had produced that 7-track album for Nas. Something Black Thought it related. I don't know if that was even related to it, but it was back to back to back. And Cudi was there. And I was like, am I in 2019 or am I in 2010, 2008? And I was going nuts. And I'm like, bro, if this is any indication of the future, I'm very excited. And like you said, I think that, you know, people are talking again about the most deaths, and, you know, there's always good. I'm not saying we're going to eliminate, you know, this whole younger generation of shit and be, doesn't happen, right? That's not how it works. But it's one of those things I feel where, like, just like the stock market or crypto, there's a correction, right? And it's one of those things where it's like, we went too quick. Culture, like, me and you are not old. So it used to take 20 years, like a whole generation, to be like, I hate your shitty music, kids. It took, 3 years for us to be like, what the fuck is this? You know what I mean? I'm sorry for anybody, you know, any Christians out there listening. I'm working on it, not cursing. But man, it's strange. I think that this is the cultural correction where it just feels like it's coming back to some sense. I hope it's coming back to some sense of reality. Joe Rogan said it to you on that podcast. If you're not the most progressive you can be, then you're some alt-right nut job to a lot of these people, which makes no sense to any classic liberal. Just that's how I feel about a lot of this. Like, it's so tribal. It's so extreme where it's like. Even if me, right, like I am extremely liberal when it comes to many, many things. I might vote conservatively if that's what I feel is right at the time. I have, you know, but it's like, it, why does that, you know, everything's tribal. If I wear a mask, I'm a liberal. If I take it off, I'm a crazy conservative. What is this world that we live in? Like, I know that's the media like perpetuating that even more, but it still feels like it's a truth, a majority of truth, where it's like, like these jokes and these weird things, like it's not funny to me when, like, I saw some idiot kid, he said, you've seen this before. I got the vaccine, but I'm scared to take my mask off because I might be considered a Trumper. I'm like, bro, like, I understand the joke. I understand what you're attempting to get at. It's not even funny to me because it perpetuates once again, like, this tribal mentality where it's like, I'm happy to go to Whole Foods now where I am and see almost no one wearing masks. And I actually am like, oh, when you break out of this matrix, right? You're looking around, you're like, oh, is he conservative? Like, it's weird, dude. Like, so I know I'm not the only one who does that. You know, it's like you start thinking, like, my day is not revolved around that. But now I'm so grateful to look around and be like, oh, he might have got the vaccine and is just a normal person. You know, it's like maybe he's just living his life again. You know, it's like, maybe this person believes in science and God. Oh, my God. Mind blown. I didn't know you could believe in both. You know, it's like,
how dare you?
How dare you?
Nuance.
Which is why I made that record, Make God Cool Again. I don't know if you checked it out yet, but I made that record. And it just, you know, God shouldn't be political. I've seen miracles. It's not left or right. It's not left or right wing, not a black or white thing. And it's like everything has become that, where it's like, faith isn't going to solve this, science will. And I'm like, let's rely on both. Modern medicine is great, you know, and like maybe God created you and me the ability to have this conversation about modern medicine. It's like, people don't think rationally anymore. People hang on to every word of whether it's their candidate or their party. And a lot of people are going to die from that, whether it's long-term, short-term, they're going to lose friends from that. They're going to, you know, it's so scary, because it's like, you can't wear 17 masks and a face thing like you're a dentist to Whole Foods. You might lose oxygen to your brain, or you might miss out on your future love of your life that's walking next to you. And it's like, yo, like there has to be a middle ground for everything. You know, it's like not everything is as cut and dry as CNN told you or Fox told you. And it's just, it's funny, because I always say on both sides a lot of the time, but what I really mean a lot of the time, because, and let me preface this. As you could tell, I'm very passionate about this.
That's all good, man.
As you could tell. So do crazies exist on both sides? Absolutely. But I think culturally, it's normal to be crazy on the left right now, because of the Hollywoods, because of the TV, because of the rappers, because of actors. So it's like, you might have some conservative who's absolutely some racist nut job crazy lunatic, but is he the one that's on your TV screen every day and preaching to your kids and doing all these things? And it's like,
it's not as common. The truth is, everyone always wants to sort of be neutral on this thing, because they correct. But it's not a 50-50.
It's just not
at this point. Maybe there was a time earlier in our lives where it was, or maybe it was even tilted the other way. But right now,
no,
the madness. I mean, just being sane and reasonable now gets labeled, people now get called conservative or right wing. Literally, you know, someone says, I don't think men should compete against women in sports. And people are like, ooh, that's a conservative position. It's like, is that conservative?
No, dude, that's what I'm saying, bro. It's like, and I have to have these conversations. My mom's super classic liberal, like a Bill Maher, right? Like these guys, like these people that are like, they're willing to call out. You've seen the Bill Maher one recently where he was calling progressive phobia, where he's like, he was basically talking about these Gen Zers that are scared to admit how far we've come in society because we haven't come far enough. So it's like, okay, you can admit it while we progress forward. But it's like, I have to have these conversations with my mother about like, look, mom, like this party right now is not the party that you know or knew. You know, maybe it becomes that, maybe it never becomes it again. Mm. But I'm like telling her, I'm like, hey, mom, like, do you think we should cancel police and abolish them totally because of a race? And she's like, of course not, son. And I'm like, well, 50% of people that you vote would agree, you know? And my mom would never think that statement of me just having this conversation is a racist conversation. She's like, of course not. But if I talk to a 16-year-old brainwashed idiot person, they're going to be like, how dare you even question the whole tree's rotting? Oh, we need to burn the tree down and chop it down. And it's like, bro, like, calm down, bro. Abolish the military because of what? Because you don't agree with war? Well, neither do I. I don't agree. What do you think? What do you think all conservatives run around saying? Let's fight wars today. It's like, what are you talking about, bro? Like, just think rationally and objectively. And it's like, when I'm hyped. I'm excited.
That's okay, man. Go ahead.
I'm excited, bro.
Go ahead.
Because July 4th around the corner. Last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
You can't celebrate that, man. That's racist, isn't it?
I didn't post shit on my thing because I'll tell you why. Because subconsciously, I was trained to believe that any American, like anyone you talk to from Colombia, Venezuela, Canada, Mexico, they come out wearing their shit on their shoulders, their flag. They go to soccer games. They burn your flags. They're like, over here, we burn our flags. We stomp on our flags. And we say, fuck the veterans. We say, it's like, bro, like, when did society become like NWA? Like, you know, it's like we have white suburban girls who've never been jammed up ever with police talking about the police. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I saw this company. It was Love Home Beauty. Seventh Generation. I don't want to say the wrong one. So it was one of these ones in Whole Foods. And they said it was like, cops need to be abolished the same way fossil fuels need to stay in the ground. First of all, terrible comparison. What are you talking about? And then I go to their website, I click it, and it looked like shit out of Hunger Games. No black people. It was 50 white people standing in front of their factory, and they were just standing there like this. And I'm like, y'all are the ones just tweeted
the police. I see one Indian woman standing amongst 50 white people. Y'all telling me we got to get rid of the police? Who's that going to affect? You've heard this a million times, right? Like, who is getting rid of the police going to affect? It's going to affect lower income areas. It's not going to affect your gated community. It's not going to affect, you know, LeBron. It's not going to affect. And I love LeBron. I'm not one of them dudes that's like, fuck LeBron.
Amazing athlete, man.
Amazing athlete. I mean, he has great intentions, right? It's one of those things where it's like, he's not waking up every day saying, I want to ruin Earth today. It's like,
No.
You know, it's like whether you're misdirected, misguided, whether you're, I love what Kwame Brown says over LeBron. I don't know if you've heard the Kwame Brown shit recently.
I don't think so.
So he's a retired basketball player, and he comes out just spitting the real wokest truth you could ever see. And he says the same. I love you, LeBron. You probably have great intentions, but he's like, when you get to this level of like, you're hanging out with Ellen DeGeneres and blah, blah, blah. I'm like how many people are really in your corner when you're that kid from Akron, that young, hungry kid, and you look around now and you around Drake and Ellen DeGeneres. I'm like you're, it's just weird, man. You know, it's a little like, I understand on his behalf. It's a strange, strange time. I'm going all over the place.
Oh, it's all good, man. It's all good. You know, it's a weird one. I think you've touched on so many things that, you know, I've spent a lot of time thinking about and dissecting. And one of my gifts and my curses is that I'm really intrigued in how the world works and how people work and why things are the way they are. I'm just very analytical.
You're solving and rationalizing.
Exactly. So I often think about this, and I think one of the big problems, and I think why amongst so-called liberals and progressives, we've seen this descent into madness over the past, let's say, decade.
Yeah.
I think a big part of it is that a lot of the big battles have already been won. Like, if you go back in history, there was always an obvious mission and a true social justice cause for, let's say, the left.
Correct. Right?
You go back, it was like, oh, you know, women need these rights.
Yeah,
black people and minority need these rights. Right. And, you know, this law is unfair. That's unfair. Whatever. And if you think about it, I don't think a lot of people, this is my personal theory on this, one of the big ones. The very last legal thing which someone could have made a genuine claim was discriminatory was gay marriage.
Yeah.
That was the last one.
Yeah, correct.
And when did stuff start going off the hinges? It was actually after. It was after
what,
that, right?
Because we ran out of shit. Like, we ran
out of
shit.
Yeah, yeah. People have, like, if you are hardwired to be an activist and a social justice type right now in 2021,
correct. That's funny.
What is your legitimate fight?
I was just saying that's my brother.
What's your legitimate fight? Yeah.
I was like, when the struggle runs out, so does the donations, the donors, the money, the problems, you know, the identity that people find in someone else's struggle or their own struggle. So it's like you said, it's like this this over progressiveness, we've come so far as a society that it's like, you know, what more is there than to topple? You know, it's like we're like, I get it. Like, there's always shit to work on, right? Like, but I think that's more on a local level. Like, I don't feel like, obviously, this kind of sums it all up. The funniest shit I saw recently was Kamala Harris saying systemic racism. Like, you're the system. You are the system. So what is this?
Joe Biden's been the system for 50 years.
So, but how do they get away with saying something like that when it's like systemic? Okay, system is the word in there. Mm-hmm. Your racist neighbor isn't the system. Mm-hmm. I understand. Maybe you might run into a scenario where a racist guy won't hire you for a job. How often do you run into that versus the laws and policies that the system may or may not be implementing? So it's like we write it off because we hear these cool things. Not me. We write it off because we heard our candidate say system, you know, and it's like, you were a top cop in Cali. Dude, like, it's the system.
The words systemic, structural, and institutional just annoy me.
Yep.
Like, those three words, people think they sound super smart when they say them.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And they are unsolvable. Yep. Right? They're just like, it's a ghost. When someone just says, oh, you know, structural racism, institutional racism, system, and you're like, okay, let's be specific here. Like, and they can't be specific, right?
Because if you get specific, you might solve the rest of the problems. You know, no. It's like, once again, you won't, if you solve the problem, not only might you lose voters, you're going to lose donations, you're going to lose certain people that you might be needing for whatever policy, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. And all these policies, whether it is left or right, there's kickbacks, there's dirty money being moved around. So it's like they need, you know, all these things to exist in yes. order for... Why do we need $1 billion to go study starfish in the ocean? You know, and it's like, oh, well, we spent 10% of it and 90% of it went to over here. You know, the gas was expensive and we ate steak dinners. And it's like, you know, like you said, I don't see us waking up any day and seeing institutional or systemic or all that being solved, because whatever is left of any of these problems is everyone's bread and butter. Like that's these people's last bit of bread mm-hmm. and butter, bro. It's like once you solve something, like you said, imagine. So I'm a Jew. So we have the Anti-Defamation, right? ADL. Then you have the NAACP, and then you have BLM. And once again, maybe, I don't know. I haven't done my research to like when they popped up out of nowhere, was there good intentions? I don't know. I hope so. Like, but it's like, then it gets hijacked by corporations mm-hmm. and companies and corrupt politicians and they siphon money and funnel it back through and they start laundering and watch. And it's just like, you know, I like to think that a lot of these things were started with good intentions and it just got, you know, it just got hijacked. But it's like, it's just so sad and depressing to see. Oh, I actually didn't check. Is today July? Today's July 1st. Did all the companies change their AVI from the gay flag yet? I actually wanted to.
Some of them have changed it. Some of them have still got it.
There you go, bro. They waited till midnight to change that. They're like, oh, thank God we got all this gay money now. And it's like, I was having this conversation the other day, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe you have the answer out there. When you raise like trillions for any company, whether it's BLM, whether it's LGBTQ community, like what is the money for? Because if I were to raise money for like an extinct animal, I know what I'm doing. I'm helping breed this animal. So like, does anyone ever know, or is it just like, oh, I feel guilty, let me throw money at this and I feel better? Like, is there an answer that maybe you've come across where this
Man,
money
it's,
goes?
It's just a racket, dude. It's just a racket. I mean, you see how much wealth has been created by some of these people, whether you're looking yep. at, you know, politicians, people in media, activism, right? Like, how are some of these politicians, I mean, in the States, I mean, how are some of those politicians like decamillionaires, right?
Yeah.
Your highest salary ever has been like, I don't know, 150, 200
Correct.
Grand.
Yep, yep.
And you're worth $50 million. Someone explain that one to me, right?
Yeah.
It's the same as, you know, we both believe in God, but it's like when you get these pastors, it's like, how are you a pastor with $100 million net worth?
Right? You show up in $100,000 car, you know,
yeah.
you got the collection plate going around. You're saying, oh, you're repent for your sins, put in money, or you're going to hell.
Put in the money, man. Yeah. And you know, there are certain like, man, I'm a capitalist, and there are certain businesses where it's like, man, go make your money. But
of course.
If you are an ultra wealthy career politician or pastor, and maybe I'll throw in activist, maybe I'll do those three, then you are shady.
Yeah.
Like, because number one, you're not meant to get into those fields to make money. And secondly, like, they're not supposed to be lucrative fields. So you are
Correct.
Obviously, you're lobbying and you're getting donations from certain places and you're embezzling funds. You're doing something shady to get wealthy in those areas, you know, when you've got people being paid $50,000 to deliver a 1-hour speech on white dismantling white supremacy in the heteronormative through a queer lens and heteronormative. Yeah. I'm just like, you people are, if you want to use the term grifters, I'm like,
yeah.
these are the grifters.
It's strange, man. It's a strange time, man. It's very, I don't know, man. It's like, it's biblical, right? You said it at the beginning of this, where it feels like good is evil, evil is good, up is down, down is up. It just, I don't know if it's always been like this. And you know, we got, what is it, blue pilled? Which was the one Neo took? The blue pill in Matrix? I think it was the blue pill.
Didn't he take the red?
I could be wrong. I don't know. We'll look it up.
The red wakes you up.
Okay, so that's it. So the red wakes you up. All right, so it's like, once you get like, you know, once you wake up, it's like you can't unsee that, you know, and this conversation we're having about top dogs at the BLM, you know, levels, at the top levels. It makes me sound like a racist because I'm white. It makes me and you sound homophobic because we're not gay. But it's like, yo, hey, I'm not even one of them dudes who's like, oh, you could be gay, but don't be gay around me. Nah, bro, be gay around me. Cool. You know, like, I want you to get married if that's your truth. Live your truth. I literally am fine with it. You know, I'm not like, if you talk to some of them older heads or some of them Bible thumping dudes, it's like, you know, you could be gay, but you're going to hell. Like, to me, I'm the type of dude, I live my truths. I try to live by the Ten Commandments, but I also, in my perspective, like in my respect, do your thing. Your life is not my life. My life is not your life. And we'll see at the end where we go. You know, it is what it is, man. I believe in God. I live the way I want to live. I'm not only blind to how you want to live, I am happy for how you want to live. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you don't hear that a lot from anyone who votes conservatively, because I'm not a Republican. I'm not a conservative. I'm not a Democrat. Mm-hmm. I'm not a liberal. I'm a human, bro. Like, if Tulsi Gabbard ran, I'm happy to vote for her. I don't care. You know, as long as you're not trying to cancel the police, as long as you're not trying to abolish the military, as long as, like, bro, like, I said it in the homie Mises' album, bro. I want to just like say these words one time, because it's some of the, can I just say some quick words?
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
It was like, I love America. That don't make me racist. All I see is blue faces, money. I just want everybody to live long and generational wealth for all races. I guess because I'm a straight white male, they don't want me to say shit. Why is it cool to hate America now? Honestly, I can't take it. Hey, corporations just using you, pretending they down with the culture. You racist if you don't hate the police and don't disrespect all the soldiers. Mayweather versus McGregor, Americans rooting for Ireland. Tell me where the hell we all went wrong. Honestly, it's so tiring. Go to any other country, they repping the team and repping the land. I am not mad if you taking a knee, as long as you taking a stand. We could work together toward a common goal with somebody that you don't like. I still love America. Even if somebody else doesn't, they call me a kike. And that's what I say right there. It's like one of those things where they try to tell me, oh, you're Jewish. How could you vote? There might be a Nazi on that side. And I'm like, well, if I vote left too, there's a Nazi there. It's like, yo, like, I might vote right because what about Hasidic Jews over? It's like, you can't vote based on identity. You can't vote just because you're gay this way. Maybe 30 years ago, maybe there, like you said, maybe tons and tons of Republicans were anti-gay marriage. But it's like, and I don't know how many states you can get married in as you're gay. I hope it's all 50. You know, I might be pissing off a lot of Bible thumping conservatives right now. But once again, that's not my point. Like, my point is to look at shit as a gray area everywhere. Everything has a gray area, man. And it's like, I don't know what more, like, when I'm me, right? When someone like me is, I used to do it. When someone like me has to tiptoe around words, you know, we've fucked up as a society. Because I made a song called It's All Love. It's all love. Y'all my sisters, y'all my brothers. Doesn't matter your religion or your color. It was lesbians kissing. It was a black, bro, because I believe that. Like, I am for progressing as society. I am for letting people individually live their lives. But that's a what? Conservative thing to, like, accountability, letting people live how they want. Like, I don't – it shit has shifted, bro. It's so weird where it's,
well,
like
– the political spectrum, what do they call it? The horseshoe theory, right? I call it like, it's like Pac-Man. You know, if you go all the way to the left side of the screen, you pop out on the far right. All the way to the far right, you pop out on the
– that's great.
Right. It's like that. I mean, the far left and the far right are far more similar to each other than they are to moderate conservatives or moderate liberals. Moderate conservatives and moderate liberals and centrists tend to be, you know – The differences are pretty slight. They tend to be quite libertarian leaning and pretty laissez-faire. You know, I have my views on things, but generally, you know, if you're not hurting other people, do what you want to do. You know, I may feel some way about it and I may not approve, but I'm not going to try to use the force. I'm not going to try to use the government gun to stop you. Whereas people on the far left and the far right, not just now, but historically, right? Whether you're talking Nazism, communism, fascism, right? Like, they're willing to use the force of the state. It's not enough for me to wear a mask. You have to wear a mask. Yep. It's not enough for me to get vaccinated. I want the state to compel you to get vaccinated. It's not enough for me to stay at home. I want you to shut down your business and I want you to be forced to do this and to do that. And most, you know, those people in the middle, you know, whether you're conservative leaning, liberal leaning, we're kind of like, yo, no, like you, if you want to do it, like go ahead. I'm not gonna kick you out of my friend circle because you voted a way I don't like, or because you, I mean, come on, man. People are literally losing friendships and family members over whether or not they get vaccinated, people voted for Trump. Oh, my niece voted for Trump. And now, my parents. Yeah. I haven't seen my parents in 4 years because they voted for Trump. I'm just like, guys, man, like what the heck?
That's when the government wins, bro. That's when the government wins. When it's like, I had two neighbors. This is a perfect example. It was a couple, a gay couple, and they lived next to me. And we were friendly with them before they moved. One was a Trump supporter, believe it or not. And one was, liberal, classically a liberal. And they literally almost broke up from politics. And I'm like, isn't that the exact definition? You are a gay couple. You know, people traditionally think you have to be left or far left because, you know, traditionally, historically, whatever, whatever. And it's like, y'all almost broke up because of your coaches that you're rooting for that right now, especially in certain states, aren't going to play little to any role in your life or identity. So it's like, you know, they didn't break up, whether that's right or wrong. I don't know. I don't know them well enough. But to me, it just felt like such a unicorn where it was like, people don't believe that a gay conservative exists, you know, or a black conservative. What really turned me off, and I voted liberally, you know, I'm only 27, but the first two times I was able to vote left, one time right. And it was like, this just really turned me off recently when I heard Biden say the whole, you know, if you ain't black, you know, you're not black if you vote for Trump. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't believe that went over so many people's heads, or just they ignored it, because it really wasn't like buried from the media. It was in a lot of places. And one more was like, oh, we're here safe today because a black woman stalking shelves. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, has Trump said dumb shit?
And then he said, unlike, dude, there's no question that Joe Biden has, there's no question that Joe Biden has made more directly. And
correct.
You can't name me a single directly anti-black statement Trump has made.
The one that I heard, because I watched the whole thing that CNN put out, because I was like, okay, maybe I missed something. Let me hear it. And the only thing I've ever heard from Trump was cringy. It was never like directly. It was like, hey, look at my African-American over there. And I'm like, yes. All right. I'm like, that's cringe, but he's an old man. You know, it is what it is. Not racist.
Yeah. No, it's not. And it's not like the stuff Biden said, even just the last year. And then when he was saying, you know, unlike the black American community, the Latino community is actually very diverse. And I was like, dude, man, come on.
You were about to say it. You were about to say it a second ago. Poor kids are just as smart as white kids.
Dude, and then, I mean, if you go back further, decades ago, I mean, because, you know, he opposed some of the integration.
Yeah,
he was, you know, saying, I don't want my kids growing up in a racial jungle. I mean, bro, come on. I'm like, dude. Guys, I'm like, I'm not saying you have to love Trump, but don't start telling me that Trump hates black people. You're like, yeah, so go vote Biden. I'm like, guys, come on.
That's I say this all the time, and people are going to, you know, if people, their minds are made up. If they want to hate you or hate me, they already found a clip to hate us, right? Like, that's it. Their minds are made up. But it's like, my job is not to make someone vote a certain way. I don't care. My job is to wake you up to the hypocrisies of your favorite celebrity lying to you, talking about, go sign up for votes because somebody paid me to do it that you don't know about, you know, or hanging on to every word of this media because you believe it. It's like, I just want to point out the hypocrisies of how they treat mostly a conservative president versus a liberal president, because of the media, because of Facebook, because of Twitter. It just upsets me to see it like just keep that same energy, as the kids say nowadays. You know, it's like, imagine a Trump kid, a text leaking with the N-word, talking about the N-word like Hunter Biden had recently.
God. Dude, man, the double standards are insane.
Imagine that, bro. That would have been front page. My mom would have been texting me, did you see what Donald Trump Jr. said? Mm-hmm. And that's what upsets me, is like, it's not my take or call, you know, it's Hunter Biden, it's his kid. If you're mad about it, get mad about it, whatever, it is what it is. But imagine, like you said, imagine that shit being on the foot.
Imagine if Trump supporters had set up an autonomous zone in a major American city for 2 weeks and were guarding their weapons. And dude, like, with all of this stuff, because I'm not even in the U.S., right? So I literally don't have a dog in the fight. Sure, I'm naturally more right-leaning, right? But I'm just looking at stuff, and I'm like, yo, if this was happening with right-wingers, they would have, dude, imagine, like, we're going to set up an,
we're going to. Let me explain to you that even, like, I got pulled out of the matrix, but even that little bit of programming I still have within me, like, I just got scared from what you said, because like, it just feels scarier to me. You know what I mean? It's like, but that's the problem. I want to bring it home, you know, full circle to what I said earlier, where it's like, I don't know if this was programming, if it was my household, if it was the media, but it was like, you know, when I got to like my teenage years and recent times, if I saw it, well, first of all, let me show you how much of a difference it is now. You know, I'm out here, bro. But let me show you, that wouldn't have happened a year or 2 years ago, because I thought anyone who supported America was they hated indigenous people and they were racist, white redneck Republicans. And I just got to the point where I was like, wait a minute. You know, I saw Jorge Masvidal, a Cuban American, coming out with the American flag, not the Cuban flag, coming out with the, it's like, and then I got some homies from Venezuela, Colombia, and I go to their house and they got crosses and American flags. And I'm like, when I go to all my white homies' house, they're like, burn it down. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, this is backward, bro. Where it's like, I go to my black homies' house and it's like, they grew up in the church. And it's like, they might not vote conservatively because of, for whatever reason, whatever policies or whatever programming or whatever happened along the way, they're free to vote how they want. But I realize like they're more conservative, you know? So it's like, I go to like, not to play identity politics, but literally I have in the last 2 or 3 years, I have more Asian, Hispanic, black friends because they appreciate America more than third, fourth, fifth generation white kids I know. You know, are they probably liberal? I'm sure. You know, if I have to, or let's not even call them liberal. Let's call them whatever you call them over there, you know, on the other side. Like you said, the Pac-Man left, the side over there. You know?
Pronoun left.
Let's hope that they run to, you know, through the wall and they come back on the other side. I don't know, man, but that's not my goal. I don't want you to vote right or left. I want you to wake up to the mainstream narrative, to the hypocrisies. I want you to wake up to the fact that your favorite celebrity is hiding the fact that he believes a certain thing just to keep his job in Hollywood or her job. The Biden that he said that people slept on, seeing Gina Carano get fired, that shit hit me because these are all like normal things that were normal 5-10 years ago that people would have got frustrated with or not frustrated with depending on, you know, the circumstance. And that Gina one hit me hard because don't we always talk about women need to be like, look at feminism, women need to be fighters. Okay, yes. Well, here's a fighter. She actually beats women for a living. She's a fighter. But that's not good enough because she said that there was election fraud. Oh, we got to fire her, you know? And she said one thing about the Holocaust, which 80 other people have been comparing the Holocaust to everything lately. So it's
And you proved the point she was making by the way you treated her, because she was talking about people being demonized for their views or for who they are. I don't know if it's... The thing is, it's really hard to tell the difference these days between malice and stupidity.
Oh, 100%.
Right? Sometimes I'm like, stupidity. Yeah, sometimes I'm like, are you people just so dumb that you literally thought she was like making some comment about Jews? Like what she said actually had nothing to do with Jews and the Holocaust. Right? It's like a metaphor.
Correct.
And you're there. I'm like, are you being maliciously dumb or are you actually that dumb?
I think tons and tons of people are still, and I'm realizing it because when I'm on the brink of tiptoeing around words, we've come too far. So then I realized, wait a minute, I'm not racist. I'm not homophobic. I'm not sexist. I'm not any of these things. So I'm like, I should probably just say what I want. You know, it's like, I should probably just have an open conversation with anybody. If I'm insensitive, I'm sorry. If I come across as tone deaf, I apologize. Will I change my ways? No. You know, I'm going to keep talking and having conversations because when the conversation stops, that's when we're in trouble. You know, when we start, and canceling isn't real, by the way. Canceling is like an alien, right? Like we know it probably exists, but it's like, you know, like, will we see them? Not really. They're not really real in the physical world. So we cancel Gina Carano. She's still a millionaire. I see her taking vacations and shooting guns whenever she wants and flying in helicopters. I'm like, I can't wait to be canceled, bro. It's like, if I get an early retirement and tons of money and it's like, and I get a deal with Daily Wire. Okay. Oh, it sounds great. Like,
and the thing that the Gina thing was sad. I still need to get her on this show actually.
Cause
she's so sweet too, man. She
seems nice.
She's
bro,
so
let
nice.
Let me reiterate that. So we have a woman who beats, she's an actual warrior. We have a woman who most likely supports all walks of life. You know, she still will put on a dress and act a whatever kind of a womanly you want. So she's giving you every form of anything. And you still, it's not enough because it doesn't agree with you politically. It's like, it doesn't make sense, bro. How about she pointed it out, or somebody else did? The Pedro Pascal guy was comparing the kids in cages to the Holocaust. And it's like, he didn't get fired because it was anti-right.
And you know the photo that he posted on that was not
from
even
Syria.
From
it. Yeah. Like Syria.
It's, oh man, there's too many layers to this, man.
There's too many, bro. Layers. We could talk for hours, bro. It's like,
it's just deception, man. I think that's the thing. Like, I get the feeling we're both people who just want to know the truth.
Correct.
We want to know the truth for ourselves, and then we want other people
Correct.
To know the truth. So when these talking heads are on TV and they're lying to you about politics or about this whole COVID situation or about this or that, like, we're not here trying to dictate to anyone, like, look, you must believe this and you must do this and that. It's just like, bro, you're being manipulated, right?
And
you're
it's
being
crazy
manipulated.
If you say that to somebody, you look like, you know, like you, like Joe Rogan said to you again, there's no middle ground. You're some QAnon alt-right. You know, it's like, it's so great. Like, when you just have that conversation where somebody is like, okay, you know, I'll look into it. Like, how it doesn't happen as often as it should, but it's been happening a lot for me lately. I think tons and tons of people, I think this is the great awakening, right? People have been saying that term for so long, where it's like, once again, if someone like me is willing to fly an American flag because I know I'm not who I thought it represented, right? Listen to the rap that I said in it. Like, I don't care if you're taking a knee as long as you're taking a stand. So it's like, if your intentions are good, that's how I judge people. I don't judge you on your words, and I try not to even judge you on your actions if it's a mistake or if it comes across as different. I judge you on your intentions. If it's constantly, if your intentions are good and you constantly are doing weird then I realize your intentions are irrelevant. But if your intentions were good, if I know your heart, if I know you're not racist, if I know you're not homophobic, if I know you, then like, I'll give you a chance. I'll give you a second chance. I'm not going to give you 3 and 4 and 5 chances, but that's what I think society needs more of. It's funny. The left always talks about empathy, sympathy, hearts, 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 love. But it's like, as soon as something doesn't fit the agenda, like you're trying to put that square into that circle, it's like, nah, this person, cancel that person. I hate this person. It's like, it's weird to me, man.
Hey, man, you're talking to one of the few openly black conservative people in like the entertainment world.
Hey, it's
trust
growing,
me,
man.
I know it's growing, but I'm not someone who's like shifted. Like, I've been there like for a long time. So I could, some of the stuff I've received and had sent to me like for the past 15 years or whatever, like it's heavy. I think it's even worse in the States. I mean, a lot of it comes from the States.
Oh, yeah. Bro, I've that's 100% true. When I talk to any of my homies from England or France or Canada, like traditionally it might be more or less liberal, but it's still less tribal. It's like, it's not that way we talked about it, where it's like, I can pinpoint who voted which way in public because of how they drive and what they drive. And although you can do that, if you have a Prius and there's a Biden thing on it, if you got a big truck and American flag, I know who you voted for. You feel me? It's like, I'm not an idiot. Like, you know, if I'm handing out flyers to my Freedom Festival, I'm not going to put it on your Prius with the Biden sticker on it, because I know you're not going to, you know, it's going to be a waste of my flyer. You know, it's like, although sometimes it changes, and you know, like
that's the best though, isn't it? I love it when you get those pleasant surprises.
100%.
I love that. I love it when online or offline, when you're like, ooh, like sometimes you're, and you know, and it's a shame that those, I mean, because they are prejudices, right? And
yeah,
it's a shame that should even exist. But sometimes it's, you know, it's like if I'm on Twitter and, you know, I come across the, oh gosh, this guy's got BLM and pronouns in his bio.
You already know which way he
votes. And he's wearing a mask in his profile photo.
Yeah.
This is not going to be a conducive conversation, is it? You know?
Isn't that weird how we think that way? Where it's like, I know if, like, I don't want to think this way. I want to untwist it, but you know, when you see somebody like taking the shot in their profile picture, I'm like, I know you hate you. It sucks that we think that way. And like you said, it's a pleasant surprise. I think it's important for celebrities, you know, whether it's A-list to D-list and everything in between. I think it's important for the Kanye West, the Elon Musk to like a conservative might drive a Tesla because it's cool. They don't want to drive a Prius. So maybe we're going to shake these stigmas of conservatives hate the environment and don't believe in it. It's like, yo, I love animals. I love trees.
Of course. The thing is, it's like, there's multiple issues. I think one thing is when someone says the word conservative, at least in the USA, I think it's different
Correct.
Here in the UK.
Yeah, yeah.
In the USA, I think people still think like 1950s conservative. Right.
100%.
So many people, when they say this thing of like, oh, you know, conservatives like being racist or being, I'm like, what are you even talking about? Like, do you know any actual, like, do you actually talk to people? Like,
exactly.
Right. Like all of these boogeymen, you know, white supremacy and everything. I'm like, how many people are freaking white supremacists in 2021, bro? Like, it's not some popular position.
Yeah.
If someone in the Republican Party, you know, expressed actual white supremacist view, they will be condemned by 100%. Everyone. Like people disassociate themselves. They're like, no,
because they know. Yep.
No. Did how many people defended those Charlottesville people? Nobody.
Except for the fake Trump clips that spread around. Right. There's good people on both sides. Well, not the terrible Holocaust Nazi.
Yeah, let's cut it there.
Let's cut that one out. Let's just say that those were great people. And those were great people. It's like. Dude,
no, that's the thing, right? So you'll say, oh, give me an example. And that people are, oh, well, it's Charlottesville. I'm like, bro, everybody condemned Charlottesville. And it was
Correct.
A couple hundred people in a country of 330 million. Like, I think at the peak, I mean, at its peak, the KKK had like, I don't know, like, let me not get the number wrong, but it was something like they had like 10%. Something like 10% of white Americans used to be like members of the KKK. Right? It was like some stupidly high number, right? And you used to have like actual white supremacist politicians, both
of course
in both parties, especially in the Democratic Party, like open white supremacist candidates.
You didn't have to hide it. Yeah, that was a platform to run on. People supported that.
It was a whole platform, right? And I'm just like, guys, like that's gone. Thank God that has gone. So firstly, can we take a moment to celebrate that and be like, actually, well done. Well done. In the past 60 years, certainly past 100 years, we've come a really, really long way. So can we take a moment to appreciate that? Before we burn everything down and call everything isms and phobics, can we celebrate that? And then can we like just be a little more nuanced here and not take the most extreme view of every... Like, I've never met a white supremacist. I know a lot of conservative people. I'm followed by. I've never met a white supremacist. I've never met a conservative person who hates the environment and who's advocating to pump pollution into the ocean. And that we should. So it's like there's these supervillain sort of straw men that are created. I'm like, that doesn't describe anybody.
And tons of money is raised that way. Do you know how many, if you sign up for a Biden text and you sign up for a Trump text, how many times they both say, we're getting scared of the other side. Like, we're worrying right now. And it's like, first of all, that's a strange thing to send out to your supporters that you're worrying. But now I psychologically break it down. Okay, Nancy Pelosi, you want money. Okay, Donald Trump's nephew that somehow got a hold of the text messages. You want money too. You know, it's like we start these soccer wars, these big matches between this country and this country, right? But it's in the States. And it's like between these teams. My brother sent me some and he was like, it's probably everywhere, but the United States government, the way we govern things and the way we look at things is like, we have KFC and I don't know what was the other one, Popeyes. We started a funny war on Twitter, but they're owned by the same parent company. So it's like, that's what it is, bro. There's tons of money being funneled through these people that once again, they might vote left or they might vote right because they might, you know, agree with a few things here or there, but they're going to sit down. There was a funny South Park episode years ago. It was like with Obama and George Bush and everybody, and they all were hating each other all episode. And at the end of the episode, they got in their jet and they did some big heist and they're like, yes. And they all just high five. And that's how it feels to me, man. It's like, am I some super duper libertarian? No. Am I some super duper centrist? No. Like, you know, I might lean right if the way the culture is right now, if this shit shifts back to a little bit more classically liberal, maybe whatever it is, depending on who's running. But to me, that's how I feel, man. It's like they pin us against each other and they raise trillions and trillions of dollars and they send it around to their friends. And you and me are still broke as shit. The only difference is you don't talk to your mom now and I don't talk to my sister and we don't talk to each other because you hated Trump and I hated Biden and he hated Tulsi Gabbard and you hated the guy who, the mayor Giuliani. It's like, it's just so stupid to me, man.
It's wild because it's all manufactured. Mm-hmm. It's all manufactured. Same.
And if it's not, it becomes manufactured.
Yes.
If it started organically, then someone grabs a hold of it, and now we have manufactured chaos.
Mm-hmm. But like, so The media painted. So what happened with Trump was really fascinating to me, especially because Donald Trump has been extraordinarily popular for several decades. Yeah, he's not someone who was new to the public
eye. Yeah, he didn't just come out of nowhere.
So like, I'm like, wait, so when did he become this evil white supremacist,
super villain, yep,
racist person, right? Like, just in 2015, all of a sudden. I mean, he used to go on The View and he'd be sitting there with, you know, like Whoopi and all of them. Yeah. And then, you know, he was going on all these TV shows and talk shows. And he was popular in hip hop. Yeah. He was very popular in hip hop. All of a sudden, the rappers are F Donald Trump and he's racist and he's white. And I'm like, guys, you are all being played. Like, you've all
rappers,
been played by the media.
Think about rappers. Like, my homie had a story, and it was the funniest story. He's a conservative rapper. I'm not going to name names because it's people's jobs to come out when they want.
That's okay.
Right? So he was in a studio with Corrupt, and Corrupt is an OG rapper, an actual pimp. Like, I'm talking about pimped women for a living, like, before rap. Like, I'm not condoning it. I mean, I'm not accepting it, or, you know, I should condone it. That's not great. But it's my point is, this is an actual pimp who was a rapper. And somehow he got twisted. Like, I would equivalent Donald Trump as the pimp of politicians, right? I'm not gonna say he's pimping women. He's a billionaire. He rocks extremely expensive clothes. He is what rappers traditionally, a lot of these pimp rappers and these guys want and looked up to and thought about it. Where did the culture shift that it's like, now you're saying, like, it almost feels anti-NWA. It almost feels like pro-establishment. And I'm not saying Trump was anti-establishment. There's a few things that don't align themselves with that in recent times, right?
Yeah.
More than any president, in my opinion, yes, 100%. You can't get that perfect. No one's going to get
He's not who they wanted. He was not their chosen one.
No, exactly. You're not going to get the anti-vaxxer, anti-masker, full-on QAnon president that a lot of people on the right. It's not going to happen, right? It's not a biggest platform to run on yet. People are not ready for some like that. But to me, it felt weird when he told me he was in the studio with Corrupt and a bunch of these old head, like, once again, literal pimp rappers. And it was the night of the election, and it was between Hillary and Trump. It was the first go around, and they were all freaking the fuck out. I can't believe he won, blah, blah, blah. And he's like sitting there not telling anybody he voted Trump and shit. And then it's like, I couldn't believe this story, because it just didn't add up to me, where it's like, you would think that it's not like Kanye coming out wearing a MAGA hat and doing all you would, I would have guessed, you know, that wouldn't have been an anomaly, a weird thing to do based on the history of rap or the history of culture or the history of, but that just shows you that it, as soon as the talking heads switch, it's a wrap. I was telling my mom about, like, once again, this Matrix world that we live in. And I've been trying to tell her for a while, but she didn't believe me until Bill Maher said it. You know, it's
interesting.
Like, these people you don't believe your son telling you something who's on the internet, who sees what's going on between classic liberals, classic Republicans, Gen Zers, Gen Xers, whatever it is. So you waited for somebody that has validation to you something, you know, all of a sudden Bill Maher is not that popular with the left because he's also calling out the left. He didn't stop talking shit about Trump or stop. So he says something like, why can't we give Britney, you know, her rights to her music and money? We let a nut job run the US for 4 years. And I'm like, okay, I understand the joke. It's funny. You know, if you voted Trump, you could still laugh at it. If you love Trump to death, you might hate Bill Maher for that statement. But same concept. What happened with the left? You know, he started talking more about these people and the media and just the hypocrisy and the corruption. And it's good to know that there's still some of these talking heads that are willing to call out that, regardless if they lose viewers, audience. Like, if you notice that shift, it's funny because I see tons of conservatives being like, go Bill Maher, you know?
Yeah.
And his job is like mine. His job is not to pander to more conservatives. His job is to just be like, stop being an idiot over here. Stop being an idiot. And let's recognize that, you know, we have some similarities, you know?
Yeah, it's just integrity, you know, man. Like, people are going to have their different views and opinions. You know, like, something to me that's a gigantic red flag is a complete unwillingness to call out the radicalism on your own side if and when it pops up. And, you know, call out those mistakes and say, actually, wait, no, that's bad. And again, this happens, you know, like, I don't know. Like, for example, the whole Antifa thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Like, why won't anyone prominent on the left condemn Antifa? Right. Like, remember Joe Biden said, it's just an idea.
I'm like,
bro, come on, man. And people are there. I'm like, you guys, you're not going to pretend to me that the Proud Boys have caused more damage than Antifa have.
I'll tell you why, man.
Years,
I mean, you already know why, man. But it's like it comes down to, you know, there's extremes on both sides, of course. But once again, there's a mainstream extreme that's on the left that's cool and okay and accepted. But as soon as that divide happens, you know, where the AOCs and the Ilhan Omars, as soon as, because they hate like the neoliberalists, like they hate like the guys that are still classic liberals and still a little bit right-leaning and centrist-leaning, whatever it is. And it's like as soon as people recognize the split and the difference within that party, there's going to be a socialist party, then a liberal party, then what we normally have, libertarian. But the right, you know, that radicalism isn't as widespread or mainstream as media wants you to believe, because there's no you know, is it popping up? Sure. Like there's no conservative Hollywood. There's no conservative athletes getting together and kicking it and talking. Like it's one thing to speak out and be vocal about whatever, right? That's cool. But it's not this powerhouse of what the left has become when it comes to culture. Like left controls a lot of the culture. You know what I mean? They control a lot of, and anyone who isn't a part of it just shuts up.
It's actually why I always chuckle when people talk about the institutions and the structures and the systems. I'm like, bro, you own all of them. So if the systems and if the systems and the institutions are racist and sexist and this and that, I'm like, well, you own Hollywood. You own the majority of the media. You are now running the political system. Like, maybe with the exceptions of things like the police and the military, like, these institutions are like, we know which direction they're leaning. I mean, they've all had rainbow flags all over everything for the past month, for goodness sake.
That reminds me, bro. It's as a Jew, as a, you know, as a white man, as a whatever I am, right? whatever I am. To me, the most recent funny one I saw was when which has gone on historically, but the whole Palestine-Israel conflict, the most recent one, it was funny to me to see Queers for Palestine. I'm like, you know, they just killed a gay man. They kill a gay man every day, but I know you can go to Israel, and I'm not saying this or that, but you can go to Israel and hold hands with your significant other. They might be more Bible thumping and not agree with it, but you're not going to get slaughtered on the streets. I could walk around in underwear, in skates, you know, and I have great, extreme, immense respect for my Muslim fans, my Arab fans, the people who live in Gaza, my Israel fans, 100%. You know what I mean? Do I feel an extreme connectivity to the Israel homeland? Not as much as a lot of other Jews. Do I absolutely respect Israel? 100%. Do I absolutely respect Judaism? 100%. Am I willing to fold and lose fans and money? Like, to a degree, absolutely. Like for this conversation, does this mean I'm anti-Palestine? No, of course not. It's so wild to me where it's like, as soon as you tiptoe, you already are done. You already are done. So it's like, that's why I started walking the line. You feel what I'm saying? It's like, gays for Palestine. What are you talking about? Jihadid is talking about, oh, we're going to go protest in the Upper East Side in New York. I'm like, well, you're wearing what's normal and acceptable in America. Go try that over there. You know, like some girl said that, you know, Bill Maher said it. He said, you would be running to Israel so fast. You know what I mean? it's like, it's just facts, bro. Like, does that justify the war crimes? And that, of course not. I said some in the Marine rappers, song that's coming out soon, and it was like, I just said it the other day, so I forgot it, but it was along the lines of like, you know, just because I support the troops doesn't mean I'm supporting the war. Just because I'm supporting the country doesn't mean I'm supporting the gore. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm supporting the flag, I'm not supporting the government.
Do you know what it is? I've noticed a theme, especially with actually quite a few things you've been saying here, and it's like, we live in an age where, because what you're doing a lot there, right, is caveating, right, putting caveats for everything.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. And you didn't used to have to do that.
No,
you didn't, so you've put up your American flag and it's like, oh, but that doesn't mean I'm racist. It's like, why should someone insinuate the worst possible interpretation of what anything could be? Has there been someone who has, you know, who is a white supremacist and they put
the
US flag it's kind of the same in England. You know, people are afraid to put up the British flag, right? Because, oh, it's, you know, it could be associated with being a skinhead or something. I'm like, dude, like, if people are running with the worst possible interpretation of absolutely everything,
Yeah.
That's on them. Like, correct. You don't need to always be. It's the same, you know, when people talk about this transgender sport issue. And they're like, oh, you know, like, I'm not transphobic and I really support the LGBT community.
That's what I did here all day.
However, but I don't think that biological males are going. It's like, dude, like, you don't need to, like, everyone doesn't need to keep creating all of these cushions, you know?
How do you feel about, so I agree. I absolutely agree with what you're saying. I just think that it's such a pivotal point of waking people up that sometimes you need to deliver it on a silver spoon, gold platter for people, where it's like, if you don't, like, You can't just hack at the shit and be like, wake up, you stupid idiot.
I agree with that.
I don't think it's forever, right? I don't think that these caveats that you're saying are forever. Do I expect to explain myself every step of the way? Hell no. Do I feel that it might be a healthy part of a cultural shift and the stepping stone? Maybe. I think so. I think that just might be my nature, where I'm a nurturer still, even though I'm a masculine man, right? Oh, he's a nurturer. He might be feminine. Guess what? You could be both and not change genders or have genders or whatever it is. I don't know, man. How do you feel about using that to, like, it's not a cushion, but to, like, calmly guide you in the right direction of, like.
I mean, I think everyone has their own communication style. Correct. I think with me personally, my view is, like, I say what I say, and then if you choose to come up with the worst possible interpretation of it, right, then that's on you. And I'll also ask you, like, well, why have you chosen to take it like that, right? Like, you shouldn't need to say, you know, if you're explaining why you think X is a bad idea, you shouldn't need to give, like, five caveats explaining that you're not a white supremacist and you're not you don't have a picture of Trump on your wall and you don't agree with everything X person. It's like, nobody agrees with everything everyone says.
I know.
So, you know, you see that on Twitter all the time. Even people will be like, oh, you know, like, I don't normally agree with what this person says. And I'm like, it's like, dude, if they say, like, say Bill Maher says something that's on point, I'll just be like, yo, that's on point. I don't need to go, oh, I'm not a liberal and I don't, like, agree with Bill Maher on this and that. I'm not this and I'm not that. But what he said there was right. It's like, dude, I can just say, yo, he nailed that right there. Like,
so
good on him.
I've done a lot of, like you said, I've done a lot of these caveats, right? These little cushions. But if you heard me 6 months ago or a year ago or 2 years ago, then you would be so proud of realizing where it's just like, I'm just comfortable now, man.
I'm proud of you, man.
The fact that I'm on, which is weird again, the fact that I'm even on this, like, why would I ever have been scared to have a conversation openly about something? Like, is cancel culture real? Or is it Twitter bots? Is it media? Is it young kids that are just, like, upset with you? Like, because, like, I've never, outside of, like, in R. Kelly, I've never seen, like, somebody who pulled up an old tweet. I've never seen someone, like, just, like totally disappear into an abyss. Like, they still kept certain jobs. They still have money. They still have family. They have a pulse. They're breathing. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know what stopped me or stopped anybody else. And this is helpful for somebody listening who might be like, wow, I should just speak up and say what's on my mind. That doesn't make you a homophobe or a transphobe or a racist or, you know, and if you say something that's tone deaf or culturally insensitive, according to somebody else, then it's your job to say, oh, I apologize or I don't, you know, like, once again, if your intentions were good and your heart was in the right place. But my question to you is, what do you think, like, the missing link is for a lot of people where it's like, you know, where they're uncomfortable to just have a conversation with you? Like,
yeah, it's a good question, man. I just think that what's happened is there's been a big chill across the modern Western world. There's a big chill, right? People are self-censoring. It's not like, oh, the government is gigantically encroaching on free speech and threatening to throw. It's like a combination of the social media tech giants and then just the general society and culture has made people very afraid to give their honest opinions or even in certain circumstances say what they know to be true, right? Everybody knows that men shouldn't compete in women's sports. I don't believe there's a single person, even the people pushing for it. I don't believe they believe their BS. I don't believe that they believe it. I think, you know, people want to be the last one eaten.
Yep.
Right. They want to be the last person canceled. They want it. That's why I think people even engage in this. It comes from a sense of fear and cowardice of, like, OK, maybe if I play along with this, they'll come for me last.
Look, bro, you have to look at most of the social justice movements. it's always like, if let's talk about this trans movement, it's there's actually more white liberal straight men and gay people,
yes,
you know, that aren't trans that are pushing. And then, and politicians, of course, you look at BLM, there was more white people in my areas than black people. So it's like,
yeah, literally.
so let's start looking at this being like, and I'm not saying you can't step up for another culture. And of course you can. If there's an injustice, if there's a true injustice, step up for this. And during the times of the riots, Jews were hand in hand with a lot of black people, and it was for good cause and good reason. And I'm sure there was a lot of still manipulation and dark money and terrible shit being, you know, used at every step of the way, right? Everything becomes controlled and manufactured, like we just said. But it's like, it's so, that should be, wake people up enough when you start looking around and realizing every movement doesn't have the people that we're talking about. How about how about the whole black people don't need IDs to vote? That's racist.
Oh gosh.
When I look at all around, it's all white people talking about it. And I talk to like I, you know. Let me not even justify that I have black friends because I have black friends. You know, yeah. Wow! I thought that was
I would assume you do as a rapper, especially.
I thought that was an excuse for not being racist. It's like, no, like let me just justify it because for context, I asked my black friends. I was like, hey, so do you guys have ID? They're like, yo, we just went to the bar. We just got a drink. I just picked you up to go there. What do you think? I stole the, you know, it's like, I drive a car. the things that we train people to be as proactively racist, you know, our tradition, are whether it started out, they're racist in themselves. It's like ignorance. Like if you go to somebody I care about's Facebook all the way down, it's like, you must stop the Republicans because they're making it harder for black people to vote. And I'm like, if we talk about rural areas, more white people live in these rural areas. So it's like, there's just so many strange scenarios. Like I personally have never met anyone who doesn't have an ID, you know? And if you don't have an ID.
Or who can't get one.
Or can't get one. And if you don't have an ID or can't get one, you can now, somebody will help you get one. And if you can't get an ID and someone can help you get one, you might.
Do you know what's extra funny about that thing, beyond the ridiculous notion that black people can't get IDs, is also that no one is like, if you genuinely believe that, it like the thing should be, okay, let's make it easier to get IDs, right? Let's block any law that says you should have an ID.
Okay, check this out. I'm going to bring in full force for what you just said. Okay. So Uber is willing to Uber people to get vaccinated, but they're not willing to Uber people to get IDs. It's like, that's strange. So it's like they literally, that was the thing. It's like, we're willing to do free rides for anyone who doesn't have a ride. We're going to take you to get the vaccine. Okay, so why don't we do that same movement for those black people that can't get IDs? Because they should be informed voters and legitimate voters. No, let's just strip the whole law away. And then now we have tons of, you know, control over who's votes and who doesn't vote. And
do you know what I love about the USA? There's a lot of things I love about the USA. But do you know one thing that's really interesting about the USA as a foreigner is it's such an experimental country, right? So you have
new.
Yeah, it's so new, first of all, and it's like 50 different experiments running, right? Because every state has Texas is really different from
California,
from Fort Worth, Texas is really different from San Francisco, California,
which is really
different from New York City, which is really different from Montana, exactly. And so you can actually see all the different philosophies, how they play out and what they result in.
Yep.
So you can look at this one place and you're like, okay, if you run with these like hyper progressive policies and, you know, somewhere like San Francisco, where it's basically legal to camp anywhere on the street. Yeah. It's legal to shoplift.
$900.
Exactly. Right. You can see how it plays out in real life rather than just, you know, theoretically thinking about
it. It's happening. It exists.
Yeah. And then you can be like, okay, actually, you know what? If you just make it totally legal to like own AR-15s and like huge like hunting, right? Like if you just make that totally legal,
let's go down to Texas.
What happens? Like what happens? Let's run that. Okay. Interesting. And that's what it's so interesting as an outsider looking in the States. And you can just see, because here in the UK and most European countries, it's much more one size fits all. It's kind of like, you know, something comes from the top, and it's just that. Even in this whole COVID situation, you had states, you know, Florida just stayed open.
Because your shit, you have the royal right? family, and then you uh-huh. still have the government, right? So it's like yeah. they work. It's still like, you know, it has to go down the pipeline mm-hmm. over here, like you said. Yeah. We never closed, bro. I lived a normal. Did I wear a mask because I was scared because I didn't know if this was the Black Plague for the first? Of course. What mm-hmm. am I, an idiot? I'm just gonna go test my luck? Of course not. I'm a normal. You know, if even if the news does it in 6 months or 3 years or something else happens again and they're going nuts, I'm gonna go out with a mask for a bit just to see. Then I'm gonna look at the numbers and I'll be like, okay, I'm safe. I can go yeah. top golf with three friends and I won't die. You know what I mean? Mm. It's like people are scared, man. I saw tons of people, even in Florida though, who like, I won't eat indoors now, even though there's plexiglass separating us and I put a hole in my mask and I'm eating through it and I put tubes in my, it's like, it's the dumbest shit, but you're right, man. It's like, it's totally different over here. And what's funny is if you look in a lot of those extremely progressive states, you mm-hmm. have an extremely higher overdose. You know, the numbers of overdose in San Fran were higher mm-hmm. than corona cases for a few months, which is mm-hmm. nuts. Let's talk about opioid epidemics. No, because Democrats and Republicans are going to lose tons of money if we actually solve that problem, because yeah. Big Pharma is going to lose money. You know, let's solve. And people always talk about gun control. New York and Chicago, extremely yep. liberal areas, have the worst in the states. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's no solution to this shit, man. If there is a solution, it's I don't want to say it's more guns, but it's like, hand the bro. My cousin died in a school shooting. And,
yeah, I saw
and,
that. I'm sorry.
Thank you, man. And what's the answer? Let's get rid of all guns so this idiot can still get guns? Or do we give one teacher on every floor who's trained for 5 years standing like this? People said, well, I don't want the kids to feel like it's prison or jail. I'm like, well, what's the alternative? Some kid gets an AR and shoots the school mm-hmm, up. Like, mm-hmm. there's no alternative. Let's like look at the UK, right? Like, let's get rid of guns. Okay, now we have to do the same thing with knives. Let's try that next. Okay, people are going to run people over with cars and bombs. It's like
the man. People focus on the wrong thing. I had a tweet blow up. I think it was last year. I wrote, "We keep looking for political solutions to spiritual realm problems and being surprised when it doesn't work."
Correct.
And I think that's what's going on, right? Guns and knives do not kill people by themselves, right? So the focus is always on the wrong thing. And the truth is, you know, if you look at, take an issue like mass shootings in the USA or stabbings in the UK or USA, the problem ultimately does not lie in the weapon.
Yeah.
Right? The question is, what is going on at a deeper level in society that is producing young men, especially, who are so unhinged or so angry or so off kilter that they come to the conclusion that the right thing to do. Yeah. The right, like, because it didn't used to always happen. Right.
No, of course
not. Columbine is really when it started.
Yep.
So, and guns were around way before Columbine. So
what's different?
No one wants to do that real deep dive and have those conversations and be like, okay, you know. And you see this when politicians are asked for solutions on this, they never have a solution. They don't, because they know it's not in their realm.
They were asking Biden the same thing. What are we going to do about mass shootings? And he was like, we need to get guns out of criminals' hands. I'm like, was that not your policy yesterday? Like, did it wait till you came to the press conference to tell us that? What were you proactively doing the day before that's what you came up with the announcement? But it's like you said, I don't blame you for saying that, because there is no answer, right? Like, if we look at if we are to get rid of guns, why would we not get rid of handguns? The ones that are killing way more people every day.
Every day, you know,
it's like you're scared of ARs and you're scared of AKs. I am. It's an extremely powerful military grade weapon.
It looks scary, right?
But it's not. The thing. It's not killing the same amount of people. Not to mention, let's go even further. Half of those handgun shootings are suicides. So it's like, you know, I pull half out of my ass. I'm sure it's 40 or 60 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
but it's like why don't we get to the real point of the matter? Because, you know, the NRA will lose money. Politicians will lose money. Big Pharma will lose money if we're talking about, you know, real crisis. Why, like Anomaly's a big proponent of talking about this. Why don't we talk about heart disease and getting in the gym? And why wasn't there if you get the vaccine shot, you get 3 months free in the gym because
donuts,
you get a
and
beer
hot dogs
and donuts.
Cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
So
it's
free
like
weed.
This shit is so bad. It's so obvious to me, bro. Yeah. It's like, you know how many COVID deaths you could have solved if you were in the gym? Simple. Like, I'm forget obesity, because there's tons of people that look like me that have heart problems and vascular problems. Not only weight, like it's how you eat. It's how you take care of yourself. It's like, I don't know, man. I wish people would just wake up.
Yeah, man. Like they don't care about us, man.
That's what it ultimately comes down to, man. They don't really care about us.
There's been a treatment for this disease all along, and if I talk about it right now on YouTube, I could have my get a strike on my channel. So that is how deep it runs, man. That's how deep the web is, man. But bro, I normally do an hour, and we've gone for almost 85 minutes.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all good, man. I've loved this conversation. Where can listeners find you?
Yes, you can find me on Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere that you listen to, I assume, your podcast, on all the major DSPs, the digital streaming platforms. You can find me on YouTube. I'm dropping a song in like 10 or 12 hours with the homie Crooked Eye, or King Crooked. He was on Eminem's album, super dope hip hop head. My homie Krishna from India. I'm always doing all these collabs between India and America, other countries. And if you live in Orlando or the Florida area, and you're a God-fearing, you know, patriot loving, you know, land loving, you know, person, you want to come out to my concert that I'm putting together with me and my team, no big promoters, no big agencies, all from my money, my pocket, Orlando, Florida, August 7th. I know Zuby, you're going to be out there. Hopefully you could pull up that night.
I'm going to do my best, man.
Thank you. And get tickets at onlyforthefans.com. Hit me up, High Res the Rapper, on any social media. I appreciate y'all.
High Res, thanks for coming on, bro. So good to talk to you.
Thank you, man.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.